Amen? Amen? The church is changing the world. You are a part of a world-changing agency. And you've been hired by Jesus to do some work. I haven't even started my message this morning. All right. Amen. Well, good morning. So glad you're here. My name is Tim. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the pastor here at Niagara Worship Center. And so if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to open up to two places at once. November. Wow. Luke chapter 17 and Hebrews chapter 12. So if you have your bulletin with you, it's more than good for just reading. You can use it as a bookmark. So you can stick your bulletin in Hebrews chapter 12 as a bookmark so that you'll be nice and fast to get there. And then you can be in Luke chapter 17. So Luke chapter 17 and Hebrews chapter 12. And if you don't have your Bible, this will be up on the screen behind me. But as you're finding your places there, as you're finding those two passages, I want to tell you a little bit of a story about myself. I grew up in a household that believed in the power of faith. I was raised in a home that believed that faith changed things, that when you had faith, all things were possible. And this was drilled into me at a young age. Anything is possible to him who believes. You can believe for anything, and it's possible with God. And so, as a child, and I know as children, I think all children play this game at some point, and maybe some adults do every once in a while as well. We ask ourselves, if you could have one superpower, what would it be? If you could do anything, if you could have the super ability to have super strength or super speed, or if you, what ability would you choose to be able to have? And so as a kid, I had a passionate desire to fly. Not on an airplane. I wanted to fly. You ever seen My Secret Identity? That show back in the 90s? I wanted to be that guy. I wanted to be able to fly. And so, you know, I was raised in a household of faith, and I went to a church that taught me about faith. And so in church, you know, I was told from Sunday school classes, you know, what you learn here doesn't stay here. This isn't, you know, your faith doesn't just affect your church life. It affects every area of your life. You need to take this home and you need to apply it. So I decided to apply my faith because I believed all things were possible. And I really wanted to fly. I mean, I had dreams about flying. I had daydreams about flying. I would pray and use my faith. And I actually believed I could fly. So, what do you do when you pray and you believe something? Well, faith without works is dead. So I had to try something to see if I could fly. It wouldn't be much faith if I didn't actually do something about it. Now, I was a wise child. I didn't start on the rooftop. But what I did do is my family room in my parents' house when I was growing up had a sectional couch. And so I'd get a running start, and I would hop up on the sectional couch, and I'd run all the way around. And when I got on the last cushion, I would lift off, waiting for that glorious moment where my feet were not affected by gravity and touched the ground. Now, how discouraged do you think that I was when my feet hit the ground? Not very discouraged, because I was raised in a household of faith. When you don't receive your answer to your prayer, you just keep believing. So I would get myself psyched up. I would quote, and I don't know how old I was, and this wasn't like a few days ago. This was like when I was a young boy. At least 2 or 3 years ago. When I was young, but I would quote Romans 4 to myself and say, well, you know, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Abraham believed he would have a child and it took years for that to happen. So I wasn't discouraged when I couldn't fly off the couch because Abraham waited for the fulfillment of his promise. So I kept believing. So I kept going. I would get back up and I'd start my run again and I would do dozens of times in one afternoon, just keep doing it. And every time I believed that that was the time I was going to be able to defy gravity. All right, are you in Luke chapter 17? What does that have to do with anything? Okay, I'll tell you later. Luke chapter 17, we're going to read one verse in verse 5. And it'll be up on the screen behind you if you don't have your Bibles. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. What a beautiful thing to ask. This is our series called The Good Fight. And last week we talked about the measure of faith. This morning, this is my title, increase our faith. These followers of Jesus, they saw the life that Jesus was calling them to live. And they said, we're going to need some more faith to live this out. They saw what life was supposed to be. They saw what Jesus would call them to do. And they said, I don't have the faith for that. Increase our faith. I think this is a good thing to have, a good heart's desire to have, to desire that the Lord would increase our faith. So maybe you can relate to these disciples if you have looked around at the circumstances in your life and you'd say, well, you know, if I don't have a little bit more hope, if I don't have a little bit more faith to cling to, I just don't know if I'm going to make it through. Maybe you can relate to the disciples in their heart's cry. But Jesus takes this question and he uses it as a beautiful opportunity to teach them a lesson. So let's take a look at Jesus' response in verse 6. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. You know, it's interesting. Jesus doesn't respond by saying, here are the 7 steps to increase your faith. Here are the 12 Bible verses to stand upon to increase your faith. They ask, in my mind, a very noble question. Lord, increase our faith. We need more. We need more faith in our life. And Jesus rebukes them. And he says, if you had faith that was even the size of a mustard seed, you could tell this mulberry tree to be uprooted, to be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, are plants ever planted in the sea? No, you don't plant them in the sea. You would maybe plant them by the water. You don't plant. This is an unnatural thing, but Jesus is saying if you even had a little bit of faith, you could do something that wouldn't naturally even be done. You don't plant mulberry trees in seas. But Jesus is saying if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could actually do the impossible, things that weren't meant to be done. So notice the picture here. The disciples want big faith, and Jesus just wants them to have seed-sized faith. Seed-sized faith, Jesus said, can do big things. If you have a little bit of faith, Jesus, look what you can do. But see, all the disciples were consumed with was, well, we need more. Like, I must not have enough. I need a bigger portion of faith. But you know, Jesus isn't saying that he wants them to have small faith. He's showing them what small faith can do. He's not saying that, you know, I want you to have lots of doubts in life and all you need to have is just a little bit of faith and you can be, you know, doubtful about everything else. That's not what Jesus is saying. But he's trying to say when you put small faith in the right place, it can do big things. What did I do when I was exercising faith to fly? If I can be honest with you, I had big faith. I believed I could fly. Like, do you believe me that I believe that? It's foolish, it's silly. But believe me that I believed I could fly. Okay? I had big faith in the wrong place. Jesus is saying if you have small faith in the right place, you can do big things. So when we enter into a conversation about faith, we need to understand that your faith needs to be in the right place. If you're hoping to leave after this morning and use your faith to win the lottery, I'm sorry. That's not what this is for. You need to have your faith in the right place. See, my desire to fly had nothing to do with bringing God glory. I wasn't interested in flying to tell some people across the world about Jesus. I just thought it'd be really cool. Our faith needs to be about kingdom business. We use our faith and we see results when we come into agreement with what heaven's plans are, what God's plans are for ourselves. So Jesus is saying small faith in the right place can do big, big things. And so turn over, you're in Hebrews chapter 12. You've got your beautiful bulletin in Hebrews chapter 12. You can turn over there. Hebrews chapter 12. And the author of Hebrews makes this small comment that has such huge implications that we're going to read. And I'm not going to get into the whole context of the chapter here, but just this one verse in verse 2, the author of Hebrews says this, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The King James translation reads like this, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so last week we spoke about our measure of faith. We spoke about how the fact that God has given us his divine faith. He has given us the measure of faith and he has given us enough faith for what we need to accomplish. And so this morning, when I'm talking about increasing our faith, I'm talking about us increasing, you need to understand I'm not contradicting the truth that we spoke about last week. What I'm talking about is that there is a need for us to see increase, and we see it here, Hebrews chapter 12, to have our faith perfected. So I'll give you an example. When you made a decision to have Jesus be the Lord of your life, when you got born again and gave your life to Jesus, you became righteous in that moment by Jesus' blood. At the same time, how many know that some days are less righteous than others? How can both of those things be possible? How can you stand completely innocent before God, the creator of the universe, and yet still sin? It's this balancing act that we have as believers that we need to understand. Just because two things are true does not mean that they do not function together. You can sin and at that very moment be righteous before God. And that's not a ticket to sin. That's just a truth that Jesus' blood covers your sin. And so when we speak about faith, it's the same thing. We've been given the measure of faith. That's what we talked about last week. And if you weren't here, I encourage you to go online and to download and listen to that. But there is a truth here that Jesus founded and he perfects our faith. He develops our faith. There needs to be an increase in our ability to use our faith. We need to mature in the faith that we have. So in the same way, we can be forgiven and yet sin. We can have the measure of faith inside us and yet have a need to increase in that faith that we have been given. So we have the faith of God inside of us. And what we need to do is increase our ability to access it. See, Andrew Womack has said this. I found this quote a few weeks ago. Most people don't doubt that faith works. They just doubt that they have enough faith to get the job done. So we don't really doubt that faith works. We all say amen to that. But in a circumstance, do you actually believe that you have the faith to get the job done? That's where we struggle. That's where we can have doubts. Well, if you've ever doubted that you had enough faith, think about Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Jesus is the one who founded, he authored, he gave you your faith, and he perfects it. He develops it. He matures it. See, what God gave you, he's also going to grow inside of you. It's a gift that he will sharpen. And so we need to be perfected or developed in how we access the faith that we have been given. And so as a church, we need to increase our faith. And I believe that if we're hungry for God, that our prayer is going to be the same as the disciples in Luke 17. We're going to say, God, increase our faith. Help me understand and mature in how to use my faith and live in victory on this earth. And I believe that God has some things in store for the church. And now I'm not talking about the church at large. I literally believe this church family. I believe that God has things for this church family that we will never see come to fruition if we do not have our faith sharpened. I believe that God has big plans for this place, bigger than any of us could ever dream of. How are we going to access it? We need to increase our faith, and we need to do it together. The disciples said, notice this, increase our faith. We so desperately have been, we want to, because we've been taught for years, and it's right, we need to apply the scriptures to us, but we've gone maybe a little too far, and all we want to do is apply it to us. We want to say, okay, God, increase my faith. Help my family. Help my circumstance. No, we're the church. We need to be doing this together. Please, family, join me in praying, and when you pray, Lord, increase our faith. Increase the faith of your church. I believe that we'll see God do some things that are beyond what we've ever imagined. When you increase your faith, this is very important, you do not increase your power. See, I wanted the power to fly. I wanted God to give me the power to fly. When you increase your faith, you don't increase your power, you increase your ability to access God's power. It's not about you getting some supernatural ability. It's about you being able to access God's ability and power. So how do we increase in our faith? How are we going to do this? Well, if you have your Bibles, let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And I'm just going to talk this morning about two things that we need to be doing to see our faith increase, to understand how to walk in greater levels of faith. Romans chapter 10, and this is Paul writing, and we're going to be reading a bit of Paul through the rest of this morning. Romans chapter 10, Paul writing about faith, and he talks about there's a need for people to hear the gospel, and how are people going to hear the gospel unless someone's sent? He's talking about these things, and then in verse 17, he says this. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. See, faith comes when you hear something and you believe it to be true. When the weatherman told you it was going to be 4 degrees this morning, you had faith because you heard it and you dressed appropriately. Or maybe you thought twice about coming to church this morning. Whatever went through your mind, when you heard the newsman, the weatherman, say what the weather was, all of a sudden faith developed. Like this isn't spiritual truth, this is just truth. When you hear something, you build faith. It works the same with doubt. Let's say you're in the market for a new vehicle and you're searching and you've been looking at Saturns. You really want a Saturn. And you've done your research, you know a little bit about cars. And all of a sudden someone just says, you know, oh, I wouldn't buy a Saturn. Those things are just no good. They get tons of problems. They don't last very long. You're not going to want a Saturn. Now, you have no idea what their credentials are. You have no idea if they've ever driven a car in their life. And yet, what have they just done to you? You immediately doubted what you just believed. Even if it's to a small degree. Even if you're a mechanic. All of a sudden you could be like, I better keep looking into this. Because you've heard something, so it can create either faith or doubt. Doubt's the same thing as faith, it's just used in the wrong direction. When you doubt the chair beneath you will support your weight, you have faith that the chair will not support your weight. Doubt is faith in the wrong direction. And so when Paul says this, so faith comes from hearing. This is not a profound revelation. When you hear something, you have some level of belief in what you just heard. But what he goes on to say is, and hearing through the word of Christ. Now, the word and there, different ways to translate it. One of the ways is moreover. See, faith comes from hearing, but moreover. But more important than that, more real than that, more significant than that, faith comes from hearing the word of Christ. See, there's a natural level of faith that comes just from hearing information. But when you hear the words of Christ, there's a different level of faith that comes. It's a completely different level of faith that comes. If you'll allow me to illustrate, did anyone catch the recent Apple keynote event? They released the new information about the iPhone 6, iPad. Am I the only Apple fan in the room? Wow. Where's Joe? Why is he in Texas right now? Man. Thank you, Pastor. Okay. The Apple just released in the past few months, they had a few keynote events, and this is my like idea of watching like a movie on a Friday night. I'll watch Apple presentations. So they released the new iPhone 6, the new iPad Air 2, iPad Mini 3, all these different things. Now, before they release the new product, there's all sorts of rumors. There's dozens of websites online. Well, there's one literally, I think it's applerumors.com. It's an entire industry built on just spreading rumors based on truth. They're not just making stuff up, based on things they've heard that Apple is working on. So people are reading, they're like, oh, I wonder what the iPhone 6 is going to look like, what's it going to smell like, what's it going to taste like. They put out all these things. And so when you hear those, okay, you don't hear it. When I hear those things, faith comes. Bear with me, this is a strange analogy, but this is what came to me. Faith comes when you hear, you know, I hear the new iPhone 6, they're going to have two different sizes. Oh. You develop a level of faith in what you've just heard. Okay, but now, on the day of the presentation, when Tim Cook, the new CEO, stands up with a phone in his hand and says, this is the new iPhone 6. There's no more, like, little bit of faith. Like, you believe. There's no more doubt. And all the rumors that you heard are irrelevant. It's like, it completely doesn't matter. Because you've just seen the truth. And you're not going to argue with the man. He's the one running the show. And so faith comes by hearing. When you hear things, you have some faith that develops. But real faith comes when you hear the word of Christ. There is no doubt in anyone's mind what the iPhone 6 is like, because you can go and buy one at the store and you can see it. There's no more doubt. Am I making any sense? Amen. Faith comes when you hear the word of Christ. There's something more powerful that comes when you hear presentation from the Spirit of Jesus concerning something. It changes. So what is the word of Christ? So, and some translations translated the word of hearing the word of God. But what is this? What is the word of Christ? Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah, which means anointed one. You're hearing the words of an anointed one, the anointed one. You're hearing words that are anointed by God. So when you hear words that are anointed by God, your faith increases. This is how it works. You hear words that are anointed by Jesus, and your faith grows. Your faith is built up. Now, if the 35 minutes that we spend together in the Word on a Sunday morning, if that is your exposure to the Word of God, your faith isn't going to get built too much. There's only going to be so much growth that can happen if Sundays together is your exposure to the Word of God. But we need repeated exposure to the words of Christ in order for our faith to grow. So, reading the Bible becomes so important. Picking up and reading the Word sharpens your faith. Why is that? Is it because it's filled with great history? Is it because you learn wisdom from the wisdom literatures, or because you can get puffed up with knowledge about who all the kings were in Israel? No, that doesn't build your faith. Is it because there's prophetic information about the end times and you're going to be able to be smart and intelligent about all the things? No, that's not what builds faith. That's great information. It'll make you more aware of when things happen in the world and when we're having conversations with coworkers. But your faith is literally built because you are reading the Word of God. And when we get past the point where we just say that this is just like a history book, which it is. It is a historical, verifiable book that we can trust. But when you get beyond that, I mean, you can pick up a lot of history textbooks and you can trust a lot of them. Maybe some more than others. But you can trust it. And you can read it and you go, wow, that was great and that built my knowledge. But this does more than build your knowledge. This builds your faith. Because it's the Word of God. And John goes further. In the beginning of the Gospel of John, he said that in the beginning, he talks about there was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he says in verse 14 that the Word became flesh. So John refers to the Word as both God, the Father, and Jesus. So John is saying this isn't a book, this is a person. That'll change how you read the Bible. This isn't a book, it's a person. So, you want to spend time in fellowship with Jesus, read the Word. It builds your faith. I'm not talking about your knowledge. I'm not talking about your ability to recite verses. It builds your faith because when you have conversation, when you have a good time of fellowship with a friend or with your spouse or with your kids, your faith is built in your relationship. You become secure in your relationship when you have a good conversation. If you have a long period of time without a real, you know, connecting conversation with your spouse or with a friend, you notice. You feel you're missing something. You know, it's the same with God. You need to have that time, and it builds your faith in your relationship with Him. It builds your faith. God loves me. Well, how do you know that? Because you read John 3:16? No, not really. I just read the Word, and I spent time in fellowship with Him, and it strengthened my faith. Hallelujah. And we're not just talking about the New Testament. A lot of believers want to read the New Testament only because they say that's the only part that's relevant to them. We need to read the whole Word of God. And most of the times, when the New Testament talks about reading the Word, it's talking about the Word, it's talking about reading the Scriptures, it's not even referring to the New Testament. It wasn't the New Testament yet. It was referring to the Old Testament. So when Paul is writing to Timothy and talking to him about the Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, he's talking about the Old Testament. we need to be reading the whole Bible. You know, God taught Joshua this early on. You read Joshua chapter 1. In verse 8 it says this, we read that God is speaking to Moses. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. What a beautiful promise. God promises Joshua, if you meditate on the word, prosperity and success will fill your life. So why do you think it is that sometimes it's a challenge to pick up the word? You think about it, and then you think about it some more, and you think, yeah, I really should. And you think about it some more, and you think, yeah, I really should pick up the word. Oh, look, a Future Shop magazine. The new iPhone 6 is on the cover. Maybe I'm just speaking from personal experience. Why is it not difficult to pick up the magazine and to turn on the TV and to go for a coffee, but it's challenging to pick up the word? Because God has said you will have prosperity and success in your life if you pick it up. So what do you think the enemy is trying to do? Do you think he wants the church succeeding and prosperous? Do you think he wants the church to prosper? Do you really think that the devil wants the church to have lots of money? No, that would be bad news for him. So that's why there's such a battle here. Remember, the title of our sermon series that we're in is The Good Fight. It's a battle. The enemy does not want the church to have money. The enemy does not want to have each and every individual church member to have money. There's a financial battle in the church. God wants to prosper you, and the enemy wants you to be in poverty. He doesn't want you to succeed. He wants you to see failure after failure after failure. And God's saying, if you meditate on my word, if you put your eyes on my word and put them into practice, success will just follow you. Prosperity will find you. Not if you distribute the most resumes. Not if you have the best work ethic. If you read my word. If you read the word. It's a good fight of faith. And reading the word is something that is worth fighting for. Amen. It'll give you life. It'll encourage your soul. It'll give you wisdom, and it will build your faith. We need to hear the word of God in order to increase of our faith. And this can be accomplished through hearing the word preached. There is reading the word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by through the word of Christ. But that doesn't just refer to the red letters in the New Testament. That's not just talking about literally, you know, whatever, oh, just what Jesus said, just what God wrote in his word. No, any spirit-inspired word builds your faith. When there is a spirit-inspired message, it builds your faith. So when you expose yourself to continued hearing of the word, whether that's through listening to an audio translation of the Bible, or listening to sermons, listening to messages, if it is a spirit-anointed message, it will build your faith. Now, if it is the speaker's list of opinions, that won't necessarily build your faith. If we're, honestly, make me a promise, church family, if we keep coming here to listen to my opinions, let's just go home. Like, let's just go somewhere else. I'll join you. Where are you going? Because my opinions, ask my wife, they're fantastic, but that's not what this is about. Our faith needs to be built by the Word of God. The Word of God is first place. It's absolute first place. We need to be sharpened by the Word of God. And preaching is proclaiming the Word of the Lord. That's exactly what preaching is. Proclaiming the Word of the Lord. So your faith is built. So why do we make it a part of our lifestyle that we, you know, we do this every week? Because we need our faith to be built on a regular basis. Not once a month, not every other week, not every once in a while, not when we feel like it, all the time. And I'm not being hard on you. We have work schedules and life schedules, and I understand that we can't all be here every week. I understand that. I'm just saying, if you can, it's where you need to be to build your faith. to build your faith. Not for me, not for us, not to make us happy, to build your faith. You need to be in the Word, in the body, hearing the Word spoken. So we've got to be a people who read the Word on a regular basis. There's another thing that we need to do in order to build or to develop or to increase our faith. And I'll ask you to turn with me to one last scripture this morning. The book of Jude, right towards the end of the Bible, right before the book of Revelation. The book of Jude. And who can guess which chapter I'm going to read from? Anybody? You guys. One chapter in the book of Jude. And we're going to read verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, building yourself up in your most holy faith, listen to that. You can build yourself up in your holy faith. Your faith is divine. What does that mean? Am I complimenting you? Is Jude complimenting you? No, it's not your faith. Remember, it's God's. God gave you his faith. That's why it's holy. Build up your faith. Jude is saying you got to build up your faith. And how does he want us to do it? Through prayer. Through prayer. When you pray, your faith is built up. When you open your mouth and pray a blessing upon someone, you have faith that God will bless them. That's why it's so powerful for you to be praying for one another for needs that are there. We think about them and we say, well, I'll pray for you. You know, my thoughts are with you. Well, thoughts are powerful, and that's a great other sermon, but you need to pray about it, not just think about it. To pray about it, because when you pray, God, I pray that so-and-so would experience healing where there's pain right now in their back. When you pray that your faith, their faith, the people's faith is built up, that healing will manifest because you've prayed. So you can have all this faith stored inside. You can have all the faith that God has given you. God's given you the measure of faith. But if you don't release it, if you don't speak it out, then how are we going to see faith going to work? And so Jude is saying we need to build up our faith through prayer. Your faith builds up your prayer. Now, Jude says here, and the phrase is praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. This is a phrase that the Apostle Paul uses many times throughout his letter. He talks about praying in the Holy Spirit or praying with the Spirit. One of the times is 1 Corinthians 14. You don't have to turn there. But Paul talks about the difference between praying with our understanding and praying in the Spirit. There's a difference, he said, between me praying with my understanding, with my mind, where I know what I'm praying about. There's a difference between that and praying in the Spirit, where I don't know what I'm praying. So he makes that comment in 1 Corinthians 14. And Paul is referring to praying in the Holy Spirit. He's talking about praying in tongues. Praying without your own thoughts or words, and allowing the Spirit to pray and intercede through you in a language you do not understand. Praying in the Holy Spirit. It's allowing you to pray and spend time in prayer without mentally involving yourself and trying to think of the next word. See, when you pray with your own understanding, you're limited to your own vocabulary, to your own wisdom, to your own knowledge of Scripture. But when you allow the Spirit to pray through you, you access prayers that are so powerful. And all you're doing is just putting your faith out there, and you pray in the Holy Spirit. And it builds up our faith. Praying in tongues, praying in another language. And this is something that might sound strange to some of us, but it is very clearly taught in the Bible as something that God desires for us to do. Praying in tongues. So how does this build up our faith? Even if I knew what you were talking about, Pastor Tim, what does that do to build up my faith? I'm going to read a few scriptures, and you don't have to turn there. Just listen. Romans chapter 8, Paul says this. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. Can anybody relate? You want to pray and you just have no idea what to pray for. You want to intercede, but nothing's on your mind except, you know, God, give me a great week. You don't have any real profound thoughts. So for when we do not know what to pray for, the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. See, there is a need for us to pray to the point that we don't even have the words for it. So Paul says there's going to be groanings in the Spirit that will allow the Spirit to intercede through you. 1 Corinthians 14:2, Paul says this when he's teaching on tongues. He says, for one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. When you pray or speak in tongues, you're not talking to somebody else. You're speaking to God. You're speaking mysteries to God in the Spirit. It's a beautiful, mysterious thing. He says this 2 verses later. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. Wow, isn't that what Jude just said? But the one who prophesies builds up the church. So Paul was teaching on there's a difference between prophesying, which is the Spirit speaking through someone to deliver a message to the people in every word and language that they understand. That is for the church. It builds up the church. But when one speaks in tongues, when you pray in tongues, this is just what Jude is saying, same as Paul, you build up yourself. You build up yourself when you pray in tongues. It builds your faith. Because you're speaking to God, you're fellowshipping with him, and you're allowing his Spirit to pray through you. See, you access, when you are doing that in prayer, you're able to put aside all your own thoughts, again, all your own wisdom. We run out of things to say. In conversations with other people, you could spend hours talking with someone and have all these different things, and all of a sudden it reaches a point where it's just like, what's on your mind? I've got nothing left. I have nothing. Like, let's go golfing or go for ice cream or like do something, because you run out of things to say. It's true. You just run out of things to say. It's not because I don't want to talk to you. It's not because I don't love you. It's not because I don't want to fellowship with you. I just have nothing to say. It happens. So would God just say, okay, well, you know what? You just stop praying then. No, he allows us to pray in the Spirit. We don't know what to say. We can pray and we can just go ahead and allow the Spirit to speak through us and speak mysteries to God. And we don't need to know what we're praying because the Spirit's at work through us. I mean, what a beautiful picture where the Spirit is actually working through you in a clearly supernatural way. You are fighting the good fight of faith when you pray in the Spirit. You are fighting a warfare. You know, there have been many times when I felt the desire, the need to pray, but I just didn't have a clue what to pray about. The routine prayers of, you know, God bless my family, and you know, you start crawling up the family tree, and eventually you start forgetting names because you go so far, and you're like, okay, well, okay, I'm kind of done with that. Okay, and that's praying with our thinking. That's praying with our thoughts. And I desire to pray, but sometimes I don't have anything to pray, just like I don't have anything to say. And I'm not a big talker, which is strange. Like, well, then why are you up there every week? But I get out all my words today, and then I don't talk till around Tuesday around lunchtime, right? I'm not a big talker, to be honest. And I'm big on prayer, but I'm not a big prayer, if that's English, which it's not. I run out of things to pray. Can anybody give me an amen? Like, can you relate to me? I've got nothing to say. I've got nothing to pray. Wonderful. This is a beautiful opportunity for you to build up your faith. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues. Oh, it'll build your faith. It'll make you smile. What did you just pray about? I don't have a clue, but it was fantastic. You are so blessed. So blessed. It doesn't make any sense. But you know, And if you're here, and if this is your first time in church, or you're new to church, and you're trying to understand what this is all about, the Word says the things of the Spirit, they're foolishness. They're foolishness to those who don't understand the Spirit, who aren't in relationship with the Spirit. And so if you think that I'm sounding crazy this morning, that's okay. Forgive me, I'll forgive you. But the things that are true in the Scriptures, sometimes they just sound foolish. They sound strange, but that doesn't mean they're not true. And this is a truth that I believe has been fought so hard in the church. Again, it's like what God spoke to Joshua. Why is there such a battle to read the Bible? Because when you read the Word, your faith is built, prosperity and success will follow you. That's why there's a battle to read your Bible. That's why it's sometimes challenging to do so. Why is tongues fought so much? Why do people get uncomfortable? Why is there such a battle against this idea of speaking and praying in tongues? Because it accesses such power, the enemy wants to stomp it out. The enemy has no desire for you to be able to have the ability to speak to God in a language that he does not even understand. That is frightening to the devil. So how can you do some victory over the devil? Pray in the Spirit. Praying in tongues. And you know, one of the reasons I believe that praying in tongues builds your faith is because you have to use faith in order to do it. Because there's no real logical reason to do it. It seems strange. You need to step out in faith and say, okay, God, I'm going to allow you to speak through me by your Spirit. It takes faith to do it. When you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, and we've spoken about this several weeks ago, this is what happened in the New Testament when people were baptized in the Spirit or filled with the Spirit in the book of Acts. They spoke in tongues. And from that point, you continually read through the Scriptures that they would speak in tongues, pray in the Spirit. It's a beautiful thing. It's something you've never experienced before. It's something for us today to experience. Being filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues. Some people are challenged with this topic of conversation, and I was wondering if we really needed to go here this morning. I'm talking about faith. God, you really want me to talk about tongues? Let me read this one last verse this morning. 1 Corinthians 14:39. So my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Don't do it. And a lot of people in the church, they actually forbid speaking in tongues. Some churches, they will stop people and say, none of that, there will be none of that here, because people get confused and people get uncomfortable. The Word of God says, do not forbid speaking in tongues. You might not understand it, you might think it's strange, but don't you forbid it, because it is a gift from God. It is there to build your faith. And if you don't understand it and you're not there yet, just go ahead and seek God. Ask him about it. Read the Word. Read the Word. Allow the Word to sharpen your faith. And read the Word concerning praying in the Spirit. God, what is that? Seek the Lord on it. He gives you this beautiful gift. Not for fun. To build your faith. I believe so strong that God has a future in store for this church. A near future, like in the next few years, I believe that there are huge things that God wants to do for this church, for Niagara Worship Center, for you in this house. But I believe we need more faith to access it. I just believe this so strongly that we need to get before God, say, God, build our faith, increase our faith. Let's have seed-sized faith in the right place first, because that can do big things, and then let's allow God to grow it by being a people of the Word and people of prayer. Amen. Amen. Praise you. Let's go ahead and stand together. And we want to be a people of prayer who pray for one another. And so I just want us to spend a moment in prayer where you're standing. And to pray for us as a church family, just go ahead and lift up your arms if you're comfortable, however you want to pray, and just go ahead and pray. Pray that this house would experience an increase in faith. Go ahead and just begin to pray yourself as you stand.